Well, we welcome everyone that's watching and everyone in here. Sometimes I see faces that are new. I know we've got some visitors. Hope you got by and said hi to them. I don't want to embarrass anybody. They're sitting on Matthew's row. So thanks a lot, ladies, for showing up. We'll try not to scare you too much today. Anyone else that's new or maybe you've visited a few times, we appreciate you being here. We really do. And we love you, and we appreciate you. How could you say you love me? I love you because he loves you, and his love is in me, and I'm here to help you in whatever way I can, and we appreciate so much. Father, we love you for this day. We thank you for the great grace of God. We thank you for everybody that's watching. Lord, they are so important to you, and truly they are important to me. Father, we thank you because our desire is not to reach people through personality, through charisma, but through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And for this, we seek you on a continual basis that, Lord, thy kingdom come and thy will be done in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hallelujah. I went yesterday with my real small, petite grandson, Joe. He goes, oh, that's me. 11 years old and looks like a tackle. And we watched people get ate by dinosaurs. So that's always fun. At the movies, not real people get ate by dinosaurs. Some of you are like, really? No, they don't have them. So it had been a few years, I don't know, a couple years maybe since Candy and I went maybe to a documentary on ministers or something. Fathers about a year ago. That was good. But it had been a while, so I had to, Joe and I had watched all the Jurassic movies, so he wanted Papa to go. So I went and watched Dinosaurs Eat People. It was fun. And somebody said, oh, really? That's, yeah, and his sister, his eight-year-old sister, she went also. And you shouldn't scare little kids. Listen, when she was five, her nana would say, baby, do you want to watch Puppy Pals? And she'd say, no, I want to watch Jaws. She's tough. She grew up with they wrestle all the time, and I have to, you know, and even the little one, the three-year-old, that's the joy of having an older brother, you know, because they, you know, and girls can be tough as well. So there was no, you know, her mom was there, but there was really no snuggling up to mom during that time. She was like, yeah, just eat another one or something, you know. But we were sitting at a pizza shop afterwards, and I'm telling you this partly because I want you to know that I'm a real person, okay? I want you to know that I do go to movies if they're okay and eat pizza, it's okay. And on Saturday, it's okay. But what I was getting at is where I was headed was we were about to finish up our pizza at Mellow Mushroom, is that the name? Yeah. And so we're there, and I'm sitting across in the booth with Davey and the kids. And so I said, I'll see you guys tomorrow. I'll see you in the morning, yeah. And so we're getting close to leaving, and she goes, yeah. So I said, you know, make sure you're, yeah. Well, I'll see you tomorrow. And she goes, yeah, I got this preacher. She's talking about me. She goes, I got this pastor. Won't let us stay up late at night on Saturday nights, and won't let us eat anything on Sunday mornings before service. And, you know, and if you want to add to all that now, won't let you bring your cell phones into the church or whatever. And, of course, she's teasing, and that is teasing. And, you know, I said, yeah, I know. I wouldn't go to that guy's church either or whatever. So, here's the thing, because those of you that are watching that are not familiar, there was a word of exhortation. It wasn't a prophecy per se, but it was a word of exhortation a few months ago that said the revivalists temper themselves in every way. See, it's one thing, and Davey knew, and I knew, and of course, listen, I'm all in. I'm all in to go into Cracker Barrel and having my favorite breakfast which is an Uncle Herschel's with a bunch of eggs. And they got to be, you know, they got my eggs got to be over easy where I can sop up all that yeller. You know what I'm saying? Yellow. Pastor, it's yellow. And I have those big old biscuits and then the grits. And you got to have the hash browns. And I like the salt ham with that. And you eat all of that with great enjoyment. And you walk out just shy, just a couple of notches shy of sin. You know, you eat and not completely into oblivion. But you know what happens to your body? The days that you're allowed. What happens to your body is if you're a natural human being, if you're not a robot, what happens to your body is about 30 minutes later, you are really wishing you had a place to nap for just a little bit. Because if you are a human being, when all of that food is digested, it starts to release all the carbohydrates and all the sugars, and the sugars have a intoxicating effect upon your brain, and your brain wants it. Brain just naturally, you could have slept 10 hours earlier and felt really, really good and woke up refreshed. But all that, so that day was, I was talking about revivalist and how that revivalists are. Revivalists give their bodies over on certain occasions, like even the night before. Revivalists don't even, and I listen, you can do it. There's no sin. We're teaching revivalists. There's no sin. You can come in here just as plump, full-bellied as you want to, but you're going to be, do you know how often I have to look at people going, I don't say anything. I don't want to be, I've done it before myself, probably to Pastor Dave. But part of it you can do away with. Now, the other thing too is staying up late. Well, I'm a late riser. It's okay. I don't care. Go to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning if you want to. Watch the late show. But the thing about it is, if you're a natural human being, your body clock, when you come in here, you won't be a revivalist. You'll be like, oh, I can't wait to get home and take a nap. Revivalists are disciplining their bodies for the purpose of the moment. You understand that? Now, if you say, I'm tired from, I've prayed all night, Pastor, that's, you got a hall pass, okay? I'll let you sleep on the front row, okay? Drink a bunch of coffee helps, but I still go to sleep after, if I eat a big, big meal. I still go to sleep. But the other thing, too, is he talked about recently, do you know all of that stuff, like the cell phones and you surfing on in church and all that stuff? None of that's going to send you to hell. Come. But, Pastor, you're going to alienate a lot of people the way you preach. Listen, do you understand that I know that? And I'm absolutely satisfied and perfect. I'm doing that deliberately. I'm not unconscious of alienating people. I'm not wanting to alienate people. But listen, here's the deal. The other crowd, they're not less than the ones that really don't care about prayer. They don't care about disciplining their body. They're not less than to God. The only thing is they will never be the catalyst for revival. Only those that are on the cutting edge, tempering their bodies, tempering their minds, tempering everything, those are the ones that he's asked me to train. Now, we're not throwing the rest to the trash heap, but the anointing that comes by those who will give their life will set the other ones free from the bondage of lethargy and the bondages that I don't care and the bondages that they live in continually because they can't get set free. So you're preaching to the upper crust. No, I'm not preaching to the upper. I'm preaching to those who want to give their life and their bodies to the Lord. Well, you're going to alienate people. I get that. Do you understand that none of us have ever tried to build a church, a big church? We're speaking to you, those in the camera. We're speaking to you, those who will give your life. So I can tease with my daughter, yeah, man, I wouldn't go to that church. I wouldn't go to that pastor. But really, there's a bunch of you that do. for the purpose. Do you eat breakfast on Sunday? Yes, I do. Do you? Yes. Do you do? But I'm telling you, those are simple things. Don't get, that's, see, you know, here's the deal. People that don't pray, they try to make issues about that. They try to make those things legalistic. Like, you know, Pastor, I've got an exception with you on that. Really? All the stuff we preach, all the anointed stuff, and you find nitpicking stuff like that to get offended over. It's time to grow up. Man, there's no amens. Where is Miss Callie? Hallelujah. Who are we training? Okay. We will not, we're you and I, I'm going to speak to all of you like revivalist. All of you like revivalist. We will not dumb down, we'll not dumb down our services spiritually to make everyone comfortable, but the anointing produced by the warriors will set the captive free. Hallelujah. It'll set the captive free. Listen, this is, come on now, listen to me, listen. Get real soft here. I'll get soft and I'll get louder. This is not the time for woke in the church. Woke says this: let's not make anybody uncomfortable by excelling. Now, I don't expect you to come in here with two jugs of water saying, I'm on a fast. I don't expect you to be putting how many hours you're doing, but if somebody finds out how many hours you're doing, or if they see the anointing on your life, don't apologize for excelling in God. Don't apologize for wanting to do more than anybody else if anybody else is not excelling in God. That's the woke world. That's like, let's keep everything even because we don't offend somebody that might not be wanting to try. Make no apologies about going into God. Glory be to God. Don't post it everywhere. Don't boast it everywhere, but if somebody finds out what you're doing, don't apologize and say, oh no, you know, oh bless God, I hope that doesn't offend you that you found out how many hours I was praying. Glory be to God. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Y'all need to help me a little bit here. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 24. Hallelujah. He said this in verse 24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize. Boy, if there's anything against woke or everybody should get a participation. Everybody gets a participation. We don't care if you've tried or didn't try. Everybody gets a participation award. That's totally against the word of God. So run that they may obtain, he said. This is what their disposition is. And every man that striveth for the mastery, that is that award. And here he's talking about spiritual things. For us, what would that be? That would be the outpouring. That would be everything that has been given to us, the mastery. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Temperate, do you know what that means? It means conditioning, self-restraining, coming to a place to say, no, if it benefits the cause more, I'll temper my body for the time being for that purpose. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. We live in a info commercial world. They show you things on there. Look, I'm like, you know, they show you. Why do they always show you a 21-year-old that's always really built and show you this little pedal machine or something that, or whatever, or little these little stretch things that they're stretching? They got this way. They got big old, no. Let me tell you something. I'm not the end result. I've exercised for many, many years. In my 40s, I could bench well, you know, I could bench over 400 pounds at most any time I wanted to go in the gym. And I didn't have any excuse me, I started to say something not so nice. I didn't have injectables. It was just farm boy strength, just farm boy strength. They used to say, there comes country strong. But I found out something. Everybody in the way the world is right now, everybody thinks, whether it's money or getting into shape, everybody thinks, look at them. They didn't have to pay the price for that. They didn't. Everybody, that there is no pill you can put in your mouth that gets you in shape. There is no 20-minute, one-time-a-week exercise that gets you in shape. There's nothing that'll ever get you in shape physically except sweat and pain. I'm not talking about the pain that you have to go to the hospital. I'm talking about physical. You got to exhaust. You have to do something. Now, I'm relating this for the purpose of spiritual things. And people will say, look at them. They got, jealousy says, they got their money, somebody passed it down. Do you know how, some people do. But some people just work so hard and they earned it. Or look at them, they're in shape. You know, we see all these football players and they are making these great commercials and we think because they're, you know, they're in their $100,000 car or their beautiful suit that they're on. And we people say, look, they didn't have to do it. I've read about all the great stars. The great stars, the best ones spend more time in the gym. You'll get one guy ever once in a while. Dion was an exception. He would train a little bit, but he just had such. 99% of them are the best because they spend the most time doing what they do. They study harder. They work harder. They spend more time. They sweat harder. And people, out of jealousy, say they didn't pay no price for that. Everybody pays a price for something if you want it bad enough. Well, come on, somebody say amen. Amen. It's time to go to a place. It's time to go to a place, people. Hallelujah. He says this, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But this is what Paul said. I keep under my body, or I keep my body in a physical place of dominion by my spirit, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. If there is any verse, if there's one give me verse of once saved, always saved, that destroys all that doctrine, it's this one right here. Cast away means totally destitute from Christ, means disqualified for heaven. Paul said, I keep, although I'm Apostle Paul, I keep my body under subjection to me. And he wasn't talking about the physical shape that I was talking about just a moment. He was talking about, I will not allow desires in my body, or it could be gluttony. I will not allow anything to begin to bring into my body so that there's an excess in my life so that I could eventually, having preached to everybody and written like 60% of the New Testament, I myself should become a castaway. He was saying, it is possible I could lose my salvation and be eternally damned in the lake of fire. Now that's a reality. If that doesn't get you right there, if Paul says, I'm concerned that if I don't keep my body under subjection, I one day too could spend an eternity without Christ. That better keep all of us on our toes, on our spiritual toes. The Amplified says this, listen to it, just what I just read. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run your race, Family Prayer Center and everybody that's watching, run your race that you may lay hold of the prize and make it yours. So every athlete who goes into training conducts himself temperately and restricts. Listen, everybody say restricts. This is coming out of the Greek. Temperately and restricts himself in all things. In all things. You see, we think sometimes when we go to church, we've paid our dues. Listen, do you know that in all things, at all times, means that you have a consciousness of him? I know you know this. Those of you watching, you know this. Listen. Do you understand? I'm going to say that. I say, do you understand? But you do. Do you know that there's an all-seeing eye watching you all the time? Do you know that there's an all-seeing eye watching your thoughts? There's not one thought that you have that he's not aware of. I mean, that he's not consciously aware of. Sometimes in a half backslidden condition, people's mind tricks them and says, I'm thinking these thoughts about her or him, and it's just me, and I'm kind of in a secret place in my brain. No, you and God, now the angels can't see your brain, they can't see your mind, but the Holy Ghost and the Lord Jesus, you got three personalities. You got the Holy Ghost and Jesus and God the Father. It might as well be on a movie screen. Thank God they don't put it on a movie screen, but to them, they see every thought you're thinking. I don't like that person. I don't like Pastor when he's preaching. I like, ooh, boy, she looks good. Well, that's okay if you're single and you're not thinking dirty thoughts and she's single, but when she's somebody else's, or you're single and you think more than just that she's pretty, but I'd like to do something with her pretty, you've sinned. And all three members of the Godhead saw it. They just saw it just like you'd done it. Just like you'd done it. Nothing's hid. Do you know nothing's hid? Your brain doesn't hide from God. Some of you are looking at me like, whew. I can't even get out that door because that door's locked by another one. Now, an athlete, he says, what verse was on? I'm in the Amplified, but you wouldn't know because you're not in the Amplified. Okay. He says here in verse 25, I'll read that again. Every athlete who goes into training conducts himself temperately, restricts himself in all things. I think that's where I was at. They do it to win a wreath that will soon wither, but we do it to receive a crown of eternal blessedness that cannot wither. 26 says, therefore, I do not run, Paul said, uncertainly without a definite aim. See, you and I have got a definite aim. We know what we're supposed to do. This is not an ambiguous. What I like about this, there's no ambiguousness around. We try to take that out and kick it to the curb. We tell you how to get there, why you should get there, and how it's just now. Then it gets into sweat, you know, and tears then, okay? It's just you, mano, you and God. I do not box, Paul says. I do not box like one beating the air and striking without adversary. But like a boxer, I buffet my body. I handle it roughly. This is what the Greek says. I handle it roughly, discipline it by hardship. This is a coloration of the Greek, I should say, more specifically. And subdue it. For fear that after proclaiming to others the gospel and things pertaining to it, I myself should become unfit and not stand the test, be unapproved and rejected as a counterfeit. Jeremiah, we won't turn there. I love Jeremiah. He was prophesying during the time of the exile and, you know, just trying to warn Israel and Judah. But he so much was put on him. He was imprisoned, imprisoned about three times. One time put in a cistern. He was complaining to God. And one time he was complaining to God about the situation and about Israel and this, that, and the other. And the Lord said to him in this is Jeremiah 12:5. He says, if thou, this is what the Lord said after Jeremiah had complained. He said, if thou hast run with the horsemen, and they have, if thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they weary thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? I'm going to read that from the Amplified because some of you are wondering, what is he talking about? He's saying this, Jeremiah, you're complaining about your present condition. But if your present condition has wearied you, wait till things get into real full-blown war here. Some people are like, I can't take another. Oh, Pastor, you're pushing me to go into God. And God is saying, wait a minute, you don't understand. We're about to go into real war here. The swelling of Jordan was this. It was a painted picture. Every year, Jordan, the river, would swell out of its banks. It would push the animals of that were indigenous around that laid at the banks and laid in the interior next to the river. It would push them out into the wooded areas, and it was very unsafe to be in those places. And so that's what God was saying to Jeremiah. But listen to the Amplified because it makes it a little bit more explanatory. And the Lord rebukes Jeremiah. He rebukes his impatience, saying, if you have raced with men on foot and they have tired you out, then how can you compete with horses? Some of you are watching these services and listening, and you're like, I'm just exasperated. Well, you know why? If that's your life, you might have a test or a trial, but if you don't pray and if you don't read your Bible, you're going to get weary, and I can't help you. There's nothing I can do for you. Pastor, will you pray for me? No, not really. I won't. Are you being mean? No, because if you know to do and don't do, that's a sin. If weekly I'm telling you to pray and seek God, and then people get legalistic, I can't spend your hours. Come on, you use that as an excuse. If you go to the far end of something, you try to use it as an excuse to throw it all out. Like, you won't let us, we're teasing. You won't let us eat on Sunday mornings, and you won't let us bring ourselves. You're a legalistic church. Your brain says that kind of stuff because it wants to throw it all out so it can dismiss the real responsibility. So if you don't pray and if you don't read your word to some level and you're exasperated and depressed and fear-filled, Pastor, will you pray for me? Not after I found out you're not doing your part, because he won't even hear my prayer. That you got to do that. No, I'll just pray for something else, because that prayer of mine won't get through. But he said to Jeremiah, if the footmen, in other words, if you can't run presently, when the army comes in or the invading horsemen, how in God's name, in other words, we're going someplace, people. And times are going to get worse. It doesn't matter who gets in office. There is still going to be a fight, an extreme fight, because Satan is not going to let this thing go easily. To win the loss, there's going to be a fight. All I can say to you, if right now you're on the verge of jumping off the building, you better start praying. Because it's going to get a whole bunch worse. And if right now you're having a hard time, we're just walking along with the footmen right now. We're just trying to keep pace with them. We're just trying to run with them. And we're just in a slow jog right now. But sweetie pie, the earth and everything's going to get a whole lot worse. And if this is depressing you, you're going to find out, you're going to be looking for a rock to crawl under. Well, I didn't come here for that. I'm trying to help you. I'm glad I go to this church. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Callie. We got a war-hardened poem, I guess. I'd have to ask Alex if it was even close to poetry, but it's something. It's our website. It's really good. It's in the printable part. It's go there sometime and read that. It's something the Lord gave me. It was very, very powerful. I was recently at a something that they had going on at Aubrey School, and she goes to the same place that I graduated from. And it was a big gala. There was a lot of stuff going on, and it was really, really good. It's over in the East Fort Myers and Fort Myers Shores. And I was there, and I met a young man much younger than myself, probably in his 30s, a young man with a family. And he lives in LaBelle, and he's a fireman. And I'd met him before. I don't know a whole lot about him. He's got his kids going to a Christian school. That's good. I don't know if he serves the Lord. I don't know one way or the other about him. Although I really like him disposition. I talked to him a few times, and he's a fireman, but he's a career National Guardsman, and we were talking the other day, because we've talked a few times when I'd go over for stuff at their school, and we were talking at this, and so we got into he was going away that weekend for training. He's been in there for years, and he's been deployed a few times, Iraq, Afghanistan, those places like that. And so I was talking to him, and he said, yeah, and he was telling me stuff, and he said he was going away for training exercises and stuff. But somehow we got on the, it was more in general on the day and hour we live in, present administration, those kinds of things. I won't go on any further. And he was describing to me, he wasn't using the word, but the woke mentality. He said, oh yeah, he said now, and I know there's special forces. You know, I've got a nephew that's in the Marines. He's a recruiter, he's tough as nails, and they've got their special ops, and every branch has got their special ops. So I'm not trying to include this, what I'm about to say, on all that, because those guys would take an exception and come beat me up. But he said, look, he said the fitness test now has been lowered so much that they don't want anybody to feel. So whatever the girls used to only be able to do, they've lowered it to across the board. Listen, ladies, you are, I can't tell you how special you are. You're wonderful. You're absolutely wonderful. But they have Olympics, they used to, for women and for men. I'm glad God created the woman. I'm glad. I'm glad you're different. You can do things I can't. You can have babies and you're tough. I think women are naturally just tougher. I'd have one, and that would be the last one forever. Forever. I've seen my wife have one. That'd be it. I'd kill that guy if he ever looked at me. I'd kill him. Kill him. That'd be it. So ladies that have four or five, you just like, don't mess with them. But they lowered the bar so everybody could. I'm sorry. There will never, ever, there'll never be a nose tackle. Genetically, it just can't happen. It just can't. It's not even. You can't even take an anomaly. You can't have a 300-pound nose tackle benching 600 pounds and squatting 750 that'll play for the Minnesota Vikings. It's just genetically, you can't do it. Your bodies can't do that. The men ought to be able to do more. Physically, they ought to be able to. I'd go into the gym. I'd bench over 400 pounds. I never seen a woman come in there. I didn't take an injection in my buttocks. I didn't put nothing in any place. There, I said it. Just country strong. But I never seen a woman ever come in there. Now, you may have an anomaly, but they're just not going to be able to bench 450, 500 pounds. It's just not going to take place. When this woke society comes in, they say, let's make everybody equal. Everybody equal. That's not spiritually sound. You get what you want from God because you go into Him and you pay the price. Thank you. He said, yeah, they lowered the bar. The men don't have to do any more now than what the women can do as far as push-ups and pull-ups. And I was like, Mike, you know what? Here's the deal. We better thank God that we're not in war right now. My other grandson wanted to go into the Marines. I talked him out of it with others. For the time being, he still may later. I don't know. He's tough enough. But I can tell you this. I don't want him going under an administration that teaches feminism to menism. Do you understand that? And I don't care who that makes mad. If we had some of those military fighters, and I don't want to make our boys that are tough feel bad, but based on this kind of woke mentality, if some of those Taliban, they're mean as dirt. And if these guys that are being trained to do only the push-up number that the girls can do, and I want men, I'm sorry, but if we're going to war, I want men that are tough enough, brute men. They might cuss the paint off the wall and be as mean as Satan himself, but that's the guy I want fighting for me. He said, Pastor, you shouldn't say, no, I don't want a sissy fighting for me. And I don't want a sissy fighting for me in the spirit either. Glory be to God. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. Woo. You ate what? Ate pepper this morning. I got a little Hispanic in me. I really do. Listen, Joel's army, if you read it in chapter 2, it is not a sissy army. It's an annihilating army. But I know that's in the spirit. I'm not wanting anybody to get physically hurt. I'm talking about spiritual things. Joel's army, David's men were brutes. They were brutish. They were brute. They were not the guys that you invited to the baby shower. Those were spitting, scratching, cussing. What I mean, they were mean. They would cut your heads off. Joshua's men were the same. Glory be to God. I recently listened to a YouTube that Gay Plamondon, a video, and I want to recommend it. It's by Vestas Manga. Is that how you say? M-A-N-G-U-N is the last name. If you'll Google this, please believe me, it's the greatest, one of the greatest hours you'll spend in your life. This elderly lady, she preaches at her son's church, which is about 1,500, 2,000 people, United Pentecostal Church. They believe what we believe as far as, you know, baptism of the Holy Spirit. She preaches a message called Weepers and Warriors. Now, if you think only brute side, I'm describing something in the natural to teach you something in the spirit. But if you think I'm talking about that only brute beast kind of guys, usually the word brute, brutish in the word has a terrible connotation. I'm talking about being tough. If you think that only big, strong men, I'm talking about grandmas, they're lionesses in the spirit. This woman, my God, I sent it to Jim Martin. He said it convicted me. I sent it to Gary. He said, oh, my God. Listen to it. It's called Weepers and Warriors. Very, very powerful. Very, very, very powerful. Hallelujah. I used to think it was toughness. And a lot of times people think, oh, you're preaching this morning a message of pride. No, I'm not. I'm teaching a message of humility. Absolutely, humility. It's not pride that makes us tough. It's our humility that makes us tough. It's going into God with everything that we possibly can have and giving our lives over to Him. There's a church family that's maybe watching this morning. I hope they are. And it's the Taylors in Alabama, Kurt and Courtney and those beautiful kids. Well, they're all beautiful teenagers. Handsome, one of them, Kurt Jr. Kurt is a master of Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And he trains people and has for many, many years. And I've asked people that have trained with him. I've never said this to Kurt, but I've asked, how good is Kurt? And he's done it for years, and they told me he's one of the best. maybe one of the best in the world. And he doesn't even talk about it. He calls me quite often, and we talk the word, and he'll have a wonderful observation. Pastor, what do you think about this? And we'll talk for a while. Every once in a while, because I'd gravitate, he'd never say anything about what he does, but I'd gravitate towards that because can I get some interest in that? And so I've asked him a few times, and I pick him, and I said, Kurt, what does it take, to be really good? I mean, a good fighter, really good. And he said, well, he doesn't even want to really talk about it, but he said, and I'm just putting it in my words of what he said, it says it really takes humility. Because what you have to learn is that when you walk in there, you have to leave all your pride out the door. And if you think you're something, he said, really the bigger men, the big guys, the guys you look at and you think, oh, he said, usually those guys are, you can handle them pretty good. You get a guy you look at, oh, he's 300 pounds, he's 6'4", and he's like, he said, a lot of times those are the easiest guys to handle. He said, the guy that will take you to school is a 140-pound guy that you're looking at and like, I'll just take him. And he said, most guys walking around way overestimate what they think they can do. That's us. If we don't humble ourselves, we're going to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. And it's only understanding that us going into Him and totally depending on Him day and night to take us to a place where we've never been before, that kind of humbling will toughen us up to a place to take us in where we'll be the weepers and warriors. We'll be those who will cry out to God on a continual basis and say, God, we're giving our life over. We're nothing. I don't care ever how much. Listen, the day and hour we ever get 10 people out of wheelchairs, I want to walk out of here, bow my knee and say, Lord, I call myself, as the word says, an unprofitable servant. I have only done that which I have been commanded to do. 10 years into miracles. What you got? Somebody healed? Hot shot? Really? The word says, Jesus said, after you have done all these things, bow your knee and say, I have only done that which is mine. I am an unprofitable servant. I've only done that which is my duty to do. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. Paul said this. You don't have to turn there, but I'll read it out of 2 Timothy. He says, he's told this to his spiritual son. You can if you want to. I mean, you're fast enough to get there. But 2 Timothy chapter 2, he says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. See, that's what we're doing here. We're not abandoning anybody. You come to me for help, I will help you. I don't care if you're a prayer or a faster. The prayers and the fasters are not loved by me more than anybody else. It's just that they're the ones that are taking us to, the weepers and the warriors are taking us to a place. The other ones, God bless, come. Don't, if you don't want to pray, that's fine, come. But let us who are going someplace help you get there through our commitment in life. And we won't apologize for that. Paul said, and these things thou commit hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him that who has chosen him to be a soldier. And if any man strive for the masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Sometimes there's no other answer. What's the answer? There's no answer. There's no answer except buck up. Buck up. Well, I needed you to. That's the only answer. That's the answer Paul gave him. That's the answer I have to revivalist. Get strong. Get war strong. Listen. Distractions, you know what distractions are? They're boot camp. Distractions are boot camp They're the obstacle course in boot camp. When I went to see my nephew graduate years ago from Paris Island, he stood in the summertime. It's hot. Those no-see-ems. They told, bring your spray. Bring your spray. You had to shower down because those no-see-ems on Paris Island will eat you alive. Those soldiers had to stand there on that parade deck for hours like this, and there's no spray on them. Those no-see-ems are eating them alive, and they're going through all their calisthenics. Then they go in, change uniform. Then they run like 3 or 4 or 5 miles. We're watching them. They're just men, and those things are eating. But I don't know if you know what a no-see-em is. You can't see them. There's those little gnats that will eat. They will make you, ugh. If you ever wanted to test if you cuss no more, to see if all the cussing is out of you, go someplace where all the go to Sanibel during the summertime. Don't put nothing on. Stand there just about dark on the beach and let them cover you and see if you can stand there for 15 minutes. I watch those boys stand on that parade deck for hours, and those no-see-ems are eating them up. And they don't move. If they moved a muscle, if they just did this at one, I mean, you can't wipe the sweat. You can't. All those distractions, they've got to be laser focused. Listen, all of the distractions of your life are only there for a purpose. They're the obstacle courses right now. If it wasn't so silly and my wife wouldn't get on to me, I'd do an elbow crawl all the way to the back just to show you. Amber's laughing now. It's war. It's war. And they say this, excuse me, I'm not cussing, war's hell. It is. It's life and death. It's life and death. You're fighting hell. All these underneath the barbed wire, all this explosion, all these no-see-ems eating you up. Joshua's men were brutish. David's men were brutish. Joel's army is... I got just a little bit more. Listen, you got a beef? Yes, I do. I'm sorry. I've got a... Do you know the world in general? I don't know what it is. It's been forever since I've been to a movie, but I'm watching these, even the cleaner advertisements. The world in general, just the world in general, has gotten so soft. Men, it's like it's a fad to be, I mean, even if you're straight, I don't know if it's the skinny jeans and the fog machines or what it is. It's like a fad to talk soft and act a little, I mean, even if they're straight. It's a softness that's come into the church. Now, I'm not talking about that we need to start acting brutish and mean and ugly. And I'm just talking about there's a softness that's come on the world. At the same time, it's a dichotomy because at the same time, there's more violence and killing than ever before. It's a softness. It's a woke kind of softness. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It's like we don't want anybody to feel unapproved. Come on now. I'm telling you this. Jesus was love with legs, the epitome of love. We know that. He was absolute love. But Jesus was a warrior. I didn't get enough amens. Jesus was a warrior. Jesus himself was an absolute warrior. You don't go through all of that stuff that he went through without being an absolute warrior. You might say it like this. Jesus was not a sissy. I didn't get enough amens. Somebody said, you male chauvinist pastor, you listen, can I give you a photo? Can I give you a snapshot of See, the last thing that you ever see of anybody should be the image that you kind of keep of them. Let me give you a photo. This photo is not photoshopped. This is the last. There's a lot of photos in our minds through pictures of the Psalms and different things that we can see of Jesus, okay? We love the one of him holding the little lamb. I am his little lamb. He loves me. He'll stroke me. I get to cry on his shoulder every day. I love that photo of him. Let me give you the last Photoshop. Not Photoshop. Let me give you the last photo in the Word that we have of Jesus. Can we do that? Can we look at what's your last image that you give us? Let's go to Revelation, last book, right at the end, chapter 19. Let's see what he looks like. Let's see what this skinny jean, sissy Jesus to some people look like. Revelation 19:11 says this, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in his in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were like a flame of fire." Here's your last photo. Here's your last photo. This is the last thing I'm going to say to the church. This is my farewell photo. Take your last one. I'm leaving. This is the last thing I'm saying to the church. "His eyes were a flame of fire, and his head, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself, he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen and white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierce and the wrath of the Almighty. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun. And he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowl that fly in the midst of the heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of the captains, and the flesh of the mighty men, and the flesh of horses and them that sat on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, against his army." Do you understand that Jesus is coming back as there's no General Patton that's ever been? Now, he's not a cussing, mean, brutish, but he's an absolute warrior with fire in his eyes. This last great battle, it's not only a spiritual, but this battle here that he's coming back, men will lose their lives. Millions will die in this last great battle. And the captain of it is not someone sitting in a war. This general's not sitting in a war room watching this virtually. This one is right there in the heat of the battle. But he uses the sword of his mouth. He doesn't pierce anybody with a sword. He uses his words spoken. "And the beast was taken, and him, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshiped the image. And these both were cast alive into the lake of fire and brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the word of him that sat on the horse." That's our Lord and Savior. Which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowl were filled with their flesh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you not glad? I hope you're glad that since we're having to go into war, and since we're called for this great revival, and since we're up against devils, demons, and great distractions, are you not glad that the one who's leading us is not a sissy. He's not a pampered, soft. Now he can cuddle. He knows how to cuddle. But he knows how to cut through all the foolishness and get to where it wrecks the devil and all these things that would abate the outpouring. The gates of hell shall not prevail against us. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Father, we're asking in these last days that you'll raise up women and men that are warriors, that are weepers, that will stand in these last days and cry out with all their hearts and with all their minds, with all their souls and with all their bodies. They'll give themselves over to the work of the ministry, the power of your Spirit. They'll love not their life even to the death. They'll give themselves over to whatever it takes and whatever you call us to do in these last days. We give ourselves over to you. And we make this commitment. We will serve you to the end, and we'll give you our best. We love you, Jesus. And we bless this congregation. We bless everybody that's watching. May the power of the Holy Spirit dwell upon you. Heal your homes, heal your marriages, your bodies, everything you need flow to you, and finances flow to you for this outpouring. Father, we bless you. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. We'll be here at 6 o'clock tonight with a short teaching, and then Miss Gay will lead us. Hallelujah. Lord, I come.